Hello, audience. This episode begins in a way that we usually start our episodes, but quickly morphs into a behind the trees. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some insider knowledge into our brains.
No, you can't record it.
Are you rapping?
All right. All right.
Yeah, feeling a little hungry. Need some chips. I got some shapes. Give me the shit. Sometimes when I get my hands all crummy, I just want the crumbs in my tummy. My nose a bit runny because I ate too many shapes and now I feel funny. Maybe somebody had spiked all my shapes, that's a yikes. And now I'm on the floor, but I still want more. Give me all of them rhombuses. Give me them squares and rectangles. Cause I just wanna be entangled by the shapes, give me more. Just pour them on my body, on the floor. I will swim in them. I just wanna drink them with my women. I wanna eat all my shapes. And you know how it goes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Hi.
Nice.
We've missed you guys. We've been away for a week off air and we've come back and we miss you.
Went on a little trip together.
We went on a little, no, we didn't. I was about to be like, we went on a little, bondage something.
Bondage.
I was there by myself. I was like, what am I going to do with all these ropes? But seriously, we just released our full live show.
That was wild.
And yeah, realized that we're now, we just released episode 30 with the second part of the live show. And we were like, let's just take a break to recuperate, kind of judge where the story is at the moment. Because there's a few story threads going on at the moment.
Mm. Yeah. A lot.
Are we all on the same page about what Scott's saying? I thought we'd stop because...
So we had a break to recuperate after episode 30, right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Scott's 30.
Yeah, I am 30. I'm 30. It's a good time.
And flirty. And thriving.
And thriving.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Oh, how good. Sorry. How good is Suddenly 30, though?
Very good.
Very good
movie. That is a good movie.
Very good movie. Yeah. But yeah, that's Scott. I'm Gabby.
Oh, yeah. I'm Luke.
And I'm Matt with a nice mic.
Yeah, Matt's mic is insane.
Matt has a really high-tech mic today, so if you...
Yo, any of you gearheads out there, the AKG C214 is where it's at, baby!
Yeah, so if you're wondering why he sounds better than us, yeah, Matt, you have a good voice normally. I think you sound better than me normally. Yeah.
But I am lowering my voice a little bit.
You're really lowering it.
It's really doing things to me. You're getting into King Crab territory there.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
I should have this mic just for Crab.
Just for King Crab. Whenever he comes out, you bring it in. Yeah. But that does come back to what I was saying about touching base, about being like, where are we at with our world that we've created? Mm. What's going on? What are we never going to find out about? Mm. Which is a lot of things.
Yeah.
We'll never have those next times, probably.
Probably not. But we do have a King Crab in this world. It's a magical... Oh, what do we do? First, we are a group. We improvise radio plays every week. We've been doing long-form improv shows for a very long time, but now we've been doing this podcast for
30 episodes.
30 episodes, and every week we bring a full radio play to your ear holes.
Mm.
And back to it. King Crab, Matt. Who's King Crab?
It's a crab. It's me pissing in a cave. And now we grant wishes. So email in your wishes and King Crab will grant them.
That would be fun, actually.
Yeah.
Like a question of, if you met King Crab, what would you wish for?
Yeah. Can we get really famous so that we can start our own Make-A-Wish Foundation?
It's just Matt dressed up as this magical wish-granting crab. In Universal, I'm pretty sure last we saw him, he was in Santa's vault.
No, but he just got released.
He got released. That's right. That was a prequel. Yeah. That's where Santa's powers came from. So speaking of prequels, we also know about Mr. Minute.
You can still get pregnant from prequels.
You can get pregnant from prequels. Some Phantom Menace stories there.
But I think the King Crab, just back on him for a moment. I think the most recent story was him at the center of the universe or something, or like
black hole,
and then the kid being like, "I want to be a black hole," and then everything. Yeah. That was the last time we saw him.
Yeah, that's the last time we saw him in like the what's the word, like the
show,
but no, like the timeline-wise, chronological.
It's hard because he seems to be everywhere. He's a bit omnipresent,
a bit like Matt.
Are you everywhere, man?
Look at me. Where am I?
Emotionally, physically, you're everywhere. You're a bit scattered.
For listeners, Matt just sort of awkwardly leaned from side to side on his chair, arms spread like an airplane.
Yeah. I'm everywhere like an airplane.
We do tend to go for these omnipresent characters that connect all of our stories.
And like
Mr. Minute seems to be able to control time and bend through time.
Is it for a kiss?
No, we're not doing that.
Mr. Minute seems to be like a character who can go through time and space and manipulate it. And he has a little college where he trains people, apparently.
Yeah, and also he has arch nemesis.
Mrs. the mistress. She's out and about. What's she doing? We don't know.
How did you say that?
The mistress.
Sounds like the Mr. S.
Ooh, or maybe Mr. S.
Mr. S.
Yeah.
Mistress.
Uterus.
It's all connected.
I just had a thought. If there's a Mr. Minute, is there a Mr. Second?
Yeah, but he comes after because he's second.
Nice.
That sucked. What else is there that's lingering around in this world?
Dance.
Werewolves.
Vampires.
Vampires are around now. A group orgy that's become a riot that's taken the street. That's Luke's favorite character.
Luke just keeps bringing it up.
Yeah, every single time we go to record, Luke's always like, we're going to bring it back. That homunculus orgy thing that's roaming the streets.
Homunculus?
I imagine in my mind, they just became one giant meatball of an orgy and they just roll through the streets causing havoc.
Speaking of a giant orgy, that's what would happen if there were like a million Scots, which there are.
There are a million Scots. They are probably all in LA fucking each other.
And is the same for Leonardo DiCaprio? You took over that.
I took over Leo. Brought Leo to his knees. Yeah,
calling you out, Leo.
Yeah.
We know you listen, Leo.
Yeah. You want to fight us? Come on the pod. What's that?
Okay.
Was that good?
Dude, that sounded so intimidating and confident. You want to fight? Did I do good? Yeah, we're all very scared of you.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Lots of threads. There seems to be a pirate who doesn't die. Yeah. He's a fun one.
Oh, yeah, there's like a couple of dimensions
rolling around.
Yeah.
The island of the lost sons and lost fathers.
And lost fathers.
And the father of, the president of the world.
The president of Australia, who also owns England at the moment, and he has a son called Declan who met Santa. And there was also another kid, a daughter,
who married one of the guys from the first.
He's training with Mr. Minute. Yes. His friend is training with Mr. Minute. This world we've created is so vast and so huge. Complex. It's so complex.
And we know what you want, audience. You want us to abandon it completely and just say whatever bullshit comes to mind.
And that's exactly what we're going to do.
Nice. Very nice.
Very nice.
Quite nice.
It's quite nice.
Anyway, so that's where we are at the moment.
What?
Turn your phone off.
What the fuck?
Scott.
Scott, leaving it on a piano.
He's the professional one, but he's just...
I'm...
That's okay.
Well, I'm putting it away.
Plan because he leaves it on the piano so that he like it's like oh when it vibrates he'll know how popular he is because it's just. Bzz, bzz,
bzz, bzz. No, it was actually a reminder going off on my phone because my psychologist said to help with my ADHD I should use reminders on my phone more because with ADHD it's very easy to forget things. So I have been doing that.
What was the reminder of then?
Well, the thing is I need to get good at like marking off things when I do them because that was a reminder to pay rent on Wednesday, which I had already done. I just haven't turned it off. So it just keeps reminding me. And I think I have like three reminders to pay rent because they just haven't gone off. And I know what you're saying. Scott, why don't you just set up automatic rent payments? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Scott, why don't you?
Was I right? Is that what you guys are saying?
Yeah, and to that I say.
You know what my issue with ADHD is?
Do you have ADHD or is this just your issue with people with ADHD?
No, it's a me thing. So I'm trying to get diagnosed and my doctor gave me like a thing to fill out, a form to fill out, you know, questions and blah, blah, and your rate, your stuff.
Yes.
And I just keep forgetting to do it. So my ADHD won't let me get to the point where I can get diagnosed with ADHD.
Well, like,
it's a real problem. It's been sitting on my desk for 2 months.
Yeah, I'm 100%. I'm 31. Last year was when I got diagnosed with ADHD at 30, which was crazy to become an adult and be like, oh, these things that I've always struggled with my whole life, which I just thought were like me being a shit person and just not improving, are actually because I'm neurodivergent and actually struggle with these things because of how my brain's made up. But the way that you have to get diagnosed and treated for ADHD is so counterintuitive to the fault of ADHD. Like I was the same. I was having psychologist appointments because of my car accident, blah, 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 blah.
Boring.
Who cares about Scott's trauma there? But through that, Scott found out, like, my psychologist noticed things. I was like, do you mind if we do like a screen for ADHD? So it's only because I was in the psychologist appointment and had the bit of paper that I was able to do it. And then she was able to do the report and be like, yeah, you have it. Like, there's like 6 neurological pathways that it can affect or something. And I think mine was like 4. So I was like, yeah, you'd have it. Did a big report on it and it was beautiful. But then it's like psychologists can't prescribe medication for it. They can help you with things and help your bad coping mechanisms you've had because of ADHD, which is great. And that has improved my life greatly. But to get medicated, I have to see a psychiatrist, which means I have to then go back to the doctor and get a report from the doctor after the psychologist has sent the report to the doctor to say, Scott now needs to see a psychiatrist. So you get that mental health plan. And once you have the referral from the doctor to then see the psychiatrist, you can then call up the psychiatrist and book an appointment with the psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. But those appointments are like 9 months in advance because they're so blocked out. So you hear that and you go, I'll try somewhere else. But because you have ADHD, you never do. And then it's just this ongoing thing and you're like, oh, it's 9 months in advance. And then it gets 9 months time and you haven't booked an appointment because you have ADHD and you haven't booked it.
This is why I just go to a psychic. Because they can read my mind. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just easier.
Yeah.
That sounded overly complicated.
Yeah. And the thing about ADHD is like when things seem too complicated, it's very easy for you to just be like, I'm not going to do that because it's going to just stress me out. And that's a bad coping mechanism people with ADHD have. And the only way to treat it is through a complicated means of getting it treated.
Okay. That's good to know because my wife most likely has ADHD. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed this in your wonderful wife, Gabby, not this Gabby. Though, Gabby, you are still wonderful.
Thank you.
Oh, that felt wrong.
I'm glad that you didn't call me ugly this time.
What I love about this has become a conversation about ADHD and it started with us talking about how wild our world's gone, like how chaotic. Yeah. And we're like, oh, by the way, we have ADHD. And everyone's like, yeah, we listen to the podcast. Yeah. We know you guys have ADHD.
Do you do that thing where you're like, so for example, I'll be like, okay, I'm thirsty. I'm sitting at my desk. I'm like, I'm thirsty. I've got my water bottle. Water bottle is empty. Okay, I go out to the kitchen and then I open the fridge to get cold water out. And then I'm like, oh, I need to throw this stuff out. So I throw that stuff out and I'm like, okay. Get the water. And then I grab my bottle, get the water, and then I'm like, oh, I need to water the plants, actually. So I water the plants, and it's just like everything leads onto another thing, and then it takes so long to get to the actual thing that I just wanted to do in the first place.
And like, I'm like, when I have a task in my mind, I have to go, well, I have to set this up, and I set this up, and I set this up, and I do it, and I'm ready to go. And then someone who comes over is like, so have you finished that task yet? I'm like, I'm just ready to go. I've got it all set up. I'm like, we told you to do this 20 minutes ago. I'm like, yeah, and now it's going to be quick because it's all set up. It's going to be amazing. It's ridiculous. My thing though, like with like food and stuff, I tend to like, cause a lot of people have it like might leave glasses and stuff out. And it's like, where did that happen? Not with me, because parts of ADHD affects your like object permanence, like that you grow out of, you know, object permanence, right? When you're a baby.
You know, when you do peekaboo. Yeah. And you're like, babies
are like, whoa, because they actually concept think,
of things still existing if they can't see them.
They think you've actually disappeared and reappeared, and it's like magic.
So with people with ADHD, sometimes that doesn't develop properly.
That's the opposite for my wife, because she's like, anytime I'm like, hey, where's this? And she's like, oh, it's like underneath the couch in the corner.
Yeah, I'm like that too.
Behind a pillow. And I'm like, why? How do you know that? Yeah, and why didn't you move it?
Yeah, you see it there and then you're like, that's in a weird spot. That's how it's going to be.
But it's like things that are like consumable, and actually because your object permanence didn't kind of develop correctly, it's very easy to just overconsume, because you're like, it's there. It might be gone soon, so I need to have it now. So it's like very bad issues with like snacking. Like if there's like a box of shapes, I will devour a box of shapes if it's open, because it's just like, I just cannot put that back in the cupboard, because once I put it back in the cupboard, I'm like, that's gone. That's consumed. That's done. Same with money.
So you don't put any money in the bank?
The money goes in the bank when the
and then it boss goes pays right it. Back out.
Very cool.
Man.
Do you have ADHD, Gabby?
I feel like I haven't been diagnosed, but I feel like that because Scott brought back the, what was it? The document that has all the things,
questions the screening
for ADHD. And I read through it and I was like, I think I have a lot of these. And then Scott was like, yeah, but Gabby, you probably have hypochondria. Because I am a bit of a hypochondriac, because when someone starts saying what they have, I'm like, that's so relatable. I have that as well.
But then with the ADHD stuff as well, because like I've like done more research. So now you do certain things. I'm like,
I don't know if I have ADHD. I mean, with things like the leading on from, I do that where like I'll, but then I often forget about the initial thing that I was doing to do that, and then things just end up everywhere, and then I look back at the trail and I'm like, what happened?
I feel like that's a nice metaphor for this podcast, just things leading. And we look back at the trail and be like,
what happened?
Like I recently did a big re-listen of the podcast to kind of catch up and be like, all right, where are we? And it was that exact feeling, just like, okay, let's go.
maybe it's a good thing that I'm here to
Do you not have ADHD?
I don't think I do.
No.
What I love as well is like,
it must be nice.
it must be nice.
What I love is like, Luke's sick today and he has like a nice husky voice. Yeah. So that coming through, being like, maybe it's a good thing that I'm here to protect all of
you. Don't worry, kids.
Don't worry, little lady.
Our ADHD God leading us through the wilderness.
I love it though, because I'm like, I think I work sort of the opposite way, where it's like a lot of the time I'm really like indecisive and want like to plan and I don't actually know what most of the ADHD symptoms are.
I love that. I think my wife has it. I don't know what the symptoms are.
she always says that like that's something that she has, but maybe before I claim that I don't have it, I'll actually check the symptoms and then come back to you.
Yeah, you're a reverse hypochondriac.
Yeah, so I'm fine. My biggest one,
denialist.
We can probably trim all this up quite a bit, but like it's still good.
20 minutes in the
moment. Still interesting stuff. Yeah. My biggest one was like ADHD. I don't have an internal body clock. And so if I'm doing something I enjoy, I just have no sense of time whatsoever. So even things like in the morning, getting ready for work, I'll have a shower. And in my mind, I'd be like, that was a 5-minute shower. And then Gabby would be like, you were in there for 20 minutes. Cause like, you just have no sense of time if it's something you're enjoying. Cause I've just gotten out of bed and it's cold and I get into a warm shower. I'm like, ah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I definitely struggle with that as well. And it makes having plans really difficult because I'm like, if I've got something on at like 6 PM, the whole day is just nothing. Because I'm like, I'm just going to lose track of time if I do anything else. Mm. So I am just sitting there doing nothing and stressing all day waiting for that to come.
Yeah.
I think it's also your coping mechanisms towards it.
Yeah. I have to, like, if I have something on in the afternoon, I normally will have to just like not do anything before then. But since being with Scott, because you plan everything like back to back, and in a way that I'm like, that's not realistic, and you're like, no, we have time, we never have time.
But I think because like I don't like the feeling of stressing out, and so I'd be like, well, if I plan my day back to back, then I'm not going to have the moment where I'm sitting at home stressing about not having time to get to this thing. I'm like, well, I'm doing something the whole time.
But then we don't have time to get to the thing.
Yeah, get there.
A question I got for the ADHD kids in the room.
Yep.
This might not apply to you. I just want to know their experience. It's just so that you know, Luke.
You can also weigh in on your neurotypical.
Actually, this is my discovery of ADHD, perhaps.
I don't know if this is a me thing or an ADHD thing or there's some other shit in my brain thing. But do you have like insane difficulty concentrating with your eyes closed? Like if somebody's talking and your eyes are closed, I cannot listen at all. My eyes are closed. I am.
You just switch off.
Yeah, like the words go in, turn into dust, and
that's so funny. I have much better listening skills when my eyes are closed. When my eyes are closed, I feel like I'm not like I don't have any other stimulation, so I'm just like honing in on what they're saying.
You also,
I have to have, but I also have to have noise constantly.
Yeah.
I hate silence. Because
you get sleepy you don't have conversation or if you don't have something going on.
If there's not anything in front of me and I can't hear anything, I will fall asleep. Are you trying it now? Matt has his eyes closed.
Like, it's like actually like disassociation. Like I feel my consciousness like drifting backwards.
Wow. But have you ever tried meditation?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that would be really good for meditation because part of meditation is letting the whole world like around you fall away and you have just like nothingness. Or do you just fall asleep?
I mean, if I'm driving and I close my eyes, if someone...
Don't.
No, I'm starting to wake.
I've noticed that like I need... Like if I'm doing like... monotonous tasks or something.
Monogamy?
If I'm doing monotonous tasks, which is rare. I'm such a player. No. I need to have headphones in, listening to a podcast or like that sort of thing.
Yeah. I'll like doodle while I'm doing something else so that I can concentrate.
One thing
that's what Gabby does.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed, like one thing at my last psychologist appointment, if I get really emotional, and this is a thing with people with ADHD, it becomes quite hard to start tasks because it seems overwhelming and you can't do it. And so if you're in like a really dark place, it feels very hard to actually get out of that because everything feels overwhelming. And so though your mind makes lists to be like, I've got to do this, blah, 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 and you just can't get out. And then a thing that like is really good for people with ADHD is body doubling. And I was like explaining this where... If you do something with someone else, it is so much easier than like if you have to start it yourself. Even simple things like washing the dishes. Like if I was sitting on the couch and I was stressed, I wouldn't get up and wash a dish. But if someone was like, let's go wash the dishes together, easy, done. Yeah. And then that person can walk away and keep you washing the dishes. But it's that body doubling to get into things. And that's like everything I've experienced, like doing this podcast is way easier because it's with three other people doing theater, doing anything creative, writing. I always excel more as a group because you just need that extra person to kind of be there with you to kind of like kickstart you. Because then you're like, oh, this is easy. And then once it's easy, your focus is just on it and you are going.
I do find that like, I was a lot more active in filmmaking and like writing and things like that when I was in uni.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was probably because I was surrounded by people and I was sort of like forced into this environment where everyone was doing it as well with me. And I feel, I kind of have the same thing of it feels a lot less daunting doing it with other people. Mm. And also I feel like my brain, when I sit down just to do something by myself, is so like, I could be doing this, and this. And then because there's so much choice and like options.
I hate options.
Yes. And it kind of like,
especially when I'm emotional. If I'm emotional, then have to be forced to make a choice, it will be impossible.
It overwhelms.
Yeah.
That's why if you've seen my art, Instagram, whatever. Like I did color for a while and then I just went to black and white because having the choice of every color, I don't know what to do with all this.
Yeah.
If I just do black and white, keep it like, I love confines and like committing to just doing like, okay, this is what I have to do.
Yeah.
And then it just makes it so much easier to be more creative. But if there's so many choices, going to a food court, I'm like, I hate this.
I think that's like why I love improv, because that might sound stupid because people are like, oh, improv, that's like making things up on the spot. You can do anything. But it's like, well, you can't.
Yeah.
Because the basis of improv is you are in a scene with someone else and the choices they make have to influence your choice. Mm. Or like the way you're doing a scene has a structure and you have to follow that structure. And it almost gives you like this kind of railroad to be like, all of your creative ideas that you can't do, just put them through this one railroad and you're like, yeah, good. And you just go and you actually make something and it's done and you have this feeling at the end of it. Like, I just did it.
Mm.
I just made something and it like, I like in an hour I did a show and it was good and people laughed and all these ideas that I had channeled through it, but they were also informed by other people's ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it like for you, Luke? Also, side note, I love this as just an episode.
I love this. Yeah. Yeah. I was
we're
going
to release
yeah.
like a genuine episode of just us talking about our mental health.
Yeah, yeah. Epic. For which part?
I like
just generally.
Do any of these things, are you like, wow, that's super weird? That's not how my brain operates at all.
No, like, because I'm quite indecisive as well, but I've kind of like built it up though. So it's not something that is a constant struggle. It's something that I've like sort of learned how to be decisive. But that's partly because I really want to experience everything. So when I go to a food court, I'm like, I want to eat everything.
Yeah.
So how do I choose?
Mm.
But I think like I'm the same as that. And I like my psychologist said that that connects to that object permanence thing where it's like everything is here. I have to have it now because if I don't, it's going to go.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed on last Sunday when we went to the food court.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like we're walking around for ages. And you just saw my energy just drop.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I hate this.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, what are we going to eat? I'm just like, oh, please, somebody.
Just say something.
I get agitated to a point where like we're trying to decide. It's like, just pick something. Like I'm like, someone pick something for me and I will eat it. Well, I don't care.
Yeah. If it's a stranger and it's like, you're eating this, I'm like, yes, I'm okay. That's what I'm eating.
Yeah.
Well, see, yesterday I was getting a bit agitated because I was really hungry after, like I all of a sudden was very hungry after we got home. And I was like, I just wanted food. And we had Menu Log, which has so many freaking options. And then I asked Scott and I was like, what do you want to eat? And he was like, I don't know. What do you want to eat?
No. I said prawn chips.
All you wanted was prawn chips.
No, I had a craving for prawn chips. In my mind, I was like, I just want prawn chips. I don't care what we have. Pick any Chinese. And then Gabby was like, Chinese is close. I was like, I want prawn chips.
Chinese is close.
But also at the same time.
But at the beginning, though, you were saying, I don't know.
Eventually I was like, nah, prawn chips. I love prawn chips.
In the beginning you said, I don't know. And then I said, fine, we're getting Mexican. And you went, not Mexican.
Because I had Mexican that day. That story, because then Gabby goes, all right. And I was like, just we'll order Chinese. I'm going to go to the bathroom because we just finished like a big week of work. And I was like, I'm going to do my unhealthy coping mechanism where I'm going to go sit by myself where I'm away from people on the toilet. I'm going to do a poo. I'm going to take a good amount of time and be on my phone. And so I did that. And Gabby's calling out to me, being like, Chinese is closed. What are we going to have? I'm like, I'm in my space. I'm in my zone out space. I'm in the bathroom. I can't make choices.
This indecisive thing is a really big problem. This is a real stutter. A real big problem for me in terms of dating, because it's like the guy has to decide, you know, hey, can I take you out? Sure. Where are we going? I'm like, oh, fuck. I don't know what you like. I don't know what you want.
I was the same years and years ago when I was on Tinder and going on dates. I would always be like, all right, yeah, let's catch up. All right, what do you want to do? I'd be like,
help.
What's nearby? Yeah. Coffee? Want coffee? And they're like, oh, there's this coffee shop. Perfect. Yeah, let's go there. Mm.
I thought you were meaning like indecisive in terms
of. Yeah. Okay, I thought so too.
That's such a ladies' man.
Teeny, miny, miny. You'll do, I guess.
Gotta keep the options open. No, but that love was like that. See, this is another problem I have when I have like 10 thoughts at once.
And they're just trying to come out of your mouth.
And then all my sentences just stop. But like what I was saying about if I have much more limited choice, I'm so much happier. Mm-hmm. Like that's part of the reason why like marriage is ideal, because there's a commitment and I'm like, cool, no other choices. That's it.
I was about to say, how do you go on dating apps? Like, are you just like, ah! Is it flicking through?
Nah, it's not too bad on dating apps.
Just statistically, guys don't really have that much choice on dating apps.
That's true.
That's perfect.
No, I've got a lot of choice. They just don't choose me. No, I don't know. Dating apps are weird. It's not really for me. I just like being a dickhead on them.
I've never been on a dating app. Yeah. I feel
get on it. Anyone you meet on Tinder.
Anyone you meet on Tinder. Oh no. I feel like I just wouldn't be able to make a bio. Like I feel like because I have analysis paralysis just in text message. So I feel like trying to sell myself as a human being of like, this is me. I don't think I could do it. I think it would come across as a neurotic mess.
Oh, when I was on Tinder, I was very proud of my bio because this was when I worked at Peter Jackson in suiting and I was like a stylist.
Oh, no, what was
it? No, like, so I made it into a joke. So I said, blah, blah, blah. I said, like, you know, I work in men's fashion. And in my spare time, I like to do a lot of musical theater. So essentially, I'm the most blokey bloke you've ever met. Thought it was funny. I thought that showed who I was. I had a sense of humor. I was sarcastic. And I went on a date with one girl and she went, so you think you're a blokey bloke?
All right, so sarcasm
doesn't work on Tinder.
I hate going on dates so much. I think I'm also autistic to some degree. Everyone's on the spectrum.
Because I don't necessarily have to. Yeah, Luke, stop judging us.
Yeah, Luke, stop judging.
Not judging at all. Is there something in my face that looks like I'm judging?
It's the more like pointing the finger and going.
I went on a coffee date one time and like I like dicking around and making stupid jokes and I have a tendency to forget that other people don't and they don't know me, like if it's the first time dating. So I went on this coffee date with this girl and as we were sitting down in this restaurant, there's these plastic plants like hanging down and it was like right near my face. As I was sitting down, I was like, oh, I want to take a bite of that. And she's like, it's plastic. I'm like, yeah, that's not gonna stop me. And she's like, you can't eat plastic. I'm like, no shit. I wouldn't eat it if it was a real plant there anyway. Why is that the bit you're getting hung up on? Stupid joke.
Because she would have eaten it if it was a real plant. I tried before you got here. It's plastic. It's not good.
I love how this started as a kind of debrief, like get together. Yeah. About this is where our podcast is at the moment. And now it's just become us discussing our mental health issues. Yeah. It's beautiful. I think it makes sense because it's like, look, guys, this is where we are at the podcast, and this is why.
Let's start going into like deep psychological analysis of our brains through the stories we create.
Yeah.
Of like arc. How we got like, well, we did have an episode about Matt's like made a character who went on a few dates.
That's true.
That went horribly. Those
went better than the real ones. Yeah.
But even that ended in some like globe ending time stopping thing.
Yeah. I went on a date and I think he was just very nervous, but I started making jokes with him. Yeah, no, it's that one. I'm not gonna tell the whole story.
Are you gonna save that story for another podcast?
Yeah, I'll save it for another podcast.
For the next one?
Yeah, I'll save the meat mouth story for another podcast.
Next episode, meat mouth.
Meat mouth.
Oh, Jess, you wait.
Yeah, this will be the first next time that we actually do
this. Yeah, this is the first next time, meat mouth.
In a future episode, I'll tell the meat mouth story. But I was joking with him and he was like wearing a cardigan around his shoulders. And he doesn't know me. He doesn't know that I am a very progressive person, I would say. And I started making fun of him for having his cardigan wrapped around his shoulders. And I was like, oh, you're off to the tennis. So you're coming back from your tennis thing. And I started making fun of him a little bit. And he just got very defensive. And he's like, boys can wear this. And I was like, oh, I know.
You should be like, yeah, they can.
Yeah, they can.
Shouldn't.
They shouldn't. You're not pulling it off.
Well, this has been lovely, guys. I think every 30 episodes we should touch base like this. We should release this as a like, Behind the Trees part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
There you go, guys. A special Behind the Trees part 2.
Hey, Scott, how about you touch the base of my penis?
Do we have a HR?
It's been a serious episode. I just had to let something out.
Can you like just cut the episode there? play the exit music, and then we'll come back to this part because that was the best ending.
Oh.
Just the bass, not the rest. No. Why?
This is the most sensitive part.
Thank you again, everyone, for listening.
This was going to be the most wholesome episode that we had, but now we're going to have to put the M.
Well, the you know what? Do you know what the problem is? Right at the start of the episode when Scott said touch base for the first time, I thought of a joke that was like, it's like we're climbing Mount Everest, we've got to touch base, right? Yeah. Like the base camp. Uh-huh. And then he said touch base again and my brain was like, oh, that joke's too old because I made that 30 minutes ago in my own head. So I'm like, what else has a base? Penis. Let's go.
That's beautiful. Wow. Thanks again. Next week, guys, meat mouth.
Yum.
And
party mates
behind the trees.
What's up, boys? This is gonna be behind the bushes.
No, behind the trees. Like behind the trees.
Hey, boys, meet me behind the bushes.
Boys.
Come on, boys, let's get behind these bushes.
No, boys.
I'll show you something cool.
No.
Oh, the boys go behind the bushes. Can I come too?
Cut to me. Bushes. Touch the base of my penis.
All right.
We'll try that again, Luke.
Disclaimer.